Thank you very much, colleagues. Let me just allow the team that is accompanying us to introduce themselves, starting on my right, left side.
Thank you. My name is Nana Shakibilita, Chief Director of Bank Management.
Honourable members, good morning. My name is Michael Cox, Acting Chief Director, Strategic Management.
Honourable members, I'm Acting Director, Strategy and Planning, responsible for the implementation of the annual performance plan for the
department. Good morning.
Thank you very much. As you can see, because of austerity measures, we've cut down our team to the bone. No, those from the ministry, they don't count. They are not from my department. Thank you very much, honorable members of the portfolio committee. We have distributed the slides. Hopefully, they are readable where you are. But fortunately, I see that our system is working, so I will be running on both the boards. The presentation itself might find that repetitive, but that is because we have formatted the presentation according to the requirements of the Presidency Department of Monitoring and Evaluation, as well as the National Treasury. For example, that we will state these are the key focus areas for the Minister, Chief of the South African Defence Force, Secretary for Defence, and when we have highlighted those focus areas, you find that they come in now again in terms of our alignment with the various government imperatives, and also you might see them showing up again, same of those plans as when we cover the performance indicators. Secondly, and as a matter of introduction, I think it's important to state that part of the presentation will cover the implementation of the defense review. We would like to draw to the attention of the members that this year, financial year 16-17, will be the first year of the implementation of the 2015 defense review that was adopted by Parliament on the in June of 2015. We have then the aim of the presentation, which is to perform, which is to present the annual performance plan for 2016 with associated performance indicators, as well as budget allocation in the context of the DoD strategic plan for 2015-2020 here to the Defense Portfolio Committee. And as far as the scope is concerned, we have the introduction, the strategic plan, contribution to the national imperatives, the departmental strategic direction, the, as I indicated, the South Africa Defence Review of 2015. Now, going straight to the Minister of Defence directive, the area that will be covered will be that of the strategic plan that we have presented, this strategic plan I think was presented, was tabled in Parliament on the 13th of March, and the various DOD planning instruments for 2016 that include the annual performance plan, we include those arms for corporate plan, the Castle Control Board and Military Ombud Annual Performance Plan, which are all the state entities reporting to the Minister of Defence and Military Veterans, and they were all tabled on the 9th of May of this year. The President has selected the Department of Defence and Military Veterans as one of those public entities for benchmarking of strategic planning for all government departments and public entities. We have been invited by the Presidency to present to other national departments and public entities to have them approve on the following: the strategy and the strategic alignment, the organization performance, as well as compliance with deadlines and reporting. I think we're proud to have been selected as one of the departments for benchmarking as a center of excellence when it comes to policy, planning, budget, and presentation of planning instruments. The Defense Review of 2015 remains the primary departmental policy instrument that directs the departmental short-term, medium-term, as well as long-term planning. The Defense Review was approved as replicated by the Cabinet in March 2014 and by the National Assembly in June 2015. This Defense Review provides the defense policy for South Africa that informs the defense trajectory to be pursued over the multiple medium-term and strategic framework. The Defense Review maps up 5 strategic planning milestones as firm foundations to direct the development of South Africa's defense capabilities through a DOD extended long-term defense development plan. The challenges that we are facing in the implementation of the Defense Review, as you see in the presentation, is the funding of that implementation of the Defense Review. But the Defense Review itself, as a departmental policy mandate, is addressed in our strategic plan of 2015-2020 and constitutes policy proposal that we have presented to the National Treasury. We had estimated that we will need additional funding to fund the implementation of the South African Defense Review, and this was presented to the National Treasury, although the response we are still awaiting from the National Treasury, and all indications are that there will be at least for this financial year 2016-2017 no additional funding from the National Treasury to the Department of Defense for the implementation of our 2015 Defense Review. In order for the Defense Force then to arrest the decline, milestone 1 of the approved Defense Review will continue to sustain its ordered operational commitment as well as implement the Cabinet approved and Parliament endorsed of that Defense Review, and the funding of that defense function will have to improve significantly. Whilst there is great appreciation for the competing pressures on the fiscals, the persistent and continued downward trend in real terms of the funding allocation to defense has reached a point where the Department of Defense runs the risk of losing some of its current capabilities in addition to previous losses, and thereby compromising national security to defend and protect the Republic. Such a decline in funding is also visible in the slow pace in terms of the renewal, maintenance and repair of our prime mission equipment. In the battlefield, soldiers continue to use old and obsolete equipment with poor serviceability that hampers the UN reimbursement, because the UN will only reimburse for the equipment that is operational and serviceable. The reduction of budget allocation of the Department of Defense, for instance, by $350 million for this year, it also affects the defense industry, hampering its critical ability of the defense industry to enable it for the overall industrial development of the country. In this regard, work has been done by the Department of Defense to identify possible domains in which cost savings can be achieved, as well as those that may be practically used to generate income as listed below. As a first order, the following domains have been identified as those that can provide funding leverage to the Department of Defense over the short, medium, and long term. In other words, members of the portfolio committee, we are saying that rather than sitting, holding our arms as a Department of Defense and wait for the National Treasury to allocate adequate funding for the implementation of the defense review, as a Department of Defense, we have identified areas whereby we can generate revenues to implement this defense review. Those areas are really fall into three categories. Firstly, it will be the leveraging of the Department of Defense assets, such as land assets. We do have non-critical land of the Department of Defense that can be made available for long-term leasing and development to generate revenues for the Department of Defense. We feel that that generation of revenues can be substantial. Secondly, the provision of the Department of Defense services against payment. From time to time, we are called by various provinces to engage and support them in various disaster management activities, such as fighting firefighters, rescuing at sea or in mountains, provision of water supplies, and sometimes assisting even in the area of health. Each time when we do that, we usually do not charge the affected departments as well as the local government. For instance, the disaster management budget sits with local government, and when we render the services to support the disaster management activities, we are not reimbursed for that. We are saying if we then we would like to start asking for reimbursement of such services that are rendered by the Department of Defense so that it is rendered against payment, as well as leveraging obsolete equipment. We have a number of obsolete equipment in the Department of Defense that we would like to leverage in order to generate the revenues. The only challenge is that once the revenues have been generated, they have to go to the fiscus. And that is according to the PFMA, it's the law of the government. While we appreciate that, yes, the revenues have been generated, therefore they will go to the government, we would like the assistance of the committee so that the National Treasury can ring fence such funding for the Department of Defense that will assist us in that will assist us a great deal in implementation of the defense review. In other words, we are not coming here to complain that we don't have a budget to implement the defense review. We say we have looked at other ways of generating the revenues for implementation of the defense review. If only the portfolio committee and the parliament can assist us, help us, the funds generated in that manner don't go to the fiscus, but are actually reinforced for the Department of Defense. When we look at the priorities for the Minister of Defense, we highlight them for this financial year as strategic direction, and these priorities relate to the Defense Command and Governance Accountability relationship as clarified in our policy. We also, the Minister giving us a direction, strategic direction that will be provided to guide the implementation of the defense review, as well as strategic communication direction to provide the conceptualization and rollout across all levels of command and departmental communications intervention. The Minister's priority also includes the strategic resourcing direction. This priority relates to the directing of developing an appropriate defense funding model, thereby ensuring adequate resourcing of the defense functions over the medium-term strategic framework periods, as well as the end states, amongst which we will cover during this presentation. The next direction of the ministerial direction relates to the organizational renewal, which is the priority towards the renewal of the defense organization itself, achieve greater efficiencies and effectiveness across the defense functions, and this evolving the end states, amongst others, that will include the direction provided to inform the restructuring of the Department of Defense and the South African National Defense Force. Another of the ministerial priorities involves the human resource renewal direction. This priority relates to the direction of renewal of the Department of Human Resources function to ensure that the personnel profile is able to meet both current and future defense obligations. The following will involve, among other, the direction provided to inform the Department of Defense Human Resource Management function, the Defense Academy that is in the process now of being established, the relationship that will be established between the Department of Defense and education, training and development programs with accredited tertiary institutions for both civilian and military members of the Department of Defense, as well as to enhance the military discipline. For sustainment direction, the minister has given the directive that the defense industry, the technology development and the direction defense acquisition in line with the four milestones of the South African Defense Review. This will involve the following deliverables, that is the defense capability sustainment and renewal, the defense facilities maintaining, and the defense maintenance of defense facilities, as well as the defense industry engagement and the Department of Defense maintenance. We have already engaged the defense industry. The minister has launched the National Defense Industry Council. Minister delegated to the chairing of this National Defense Industry Council to the Office of the Secretary of Defense, and this industry council involves and members of the Defense Industry Council include the captains of the defense industry, as well as DGs in the related departments such as public enterprise, trade and industry department, as well as the presidents. And the main objective of this Defense Industry Council, number one, is to coordinate the capabilities of the Defense Industry Council with the requirements of the South African National Defense Force, and number two will be to assist the Defense Industry Council to market its products and services locally and internationally, and then number three, the transformation of the Defense Industry Council itself. When it comes to the other defense commitments, direction from the minister, that this priority relates to the deliverable of these defense commitments in line with prevailing defense policy. The following will be the most important outcome of this, that is the sustained defense commitment. The next area of our presentation covers the vision of the Department of Defense, which is that of effective defense for a democratic South Africa. And the mission is to provide this through providing, manage, prepare, and employ defense capabilities commensurate with the needs of South Africa as regulated by the Constitution, national legislation, and parliamentary and executive direction. The above will be provided through the proper management, provision, preparedness, and employment of defense capabilities which are in line with the domestic and global needs of South Africa. The next presentation is for the members to note that this annual performance plan is based and guided and aligned to the following legislative mandate: Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, the Defense Act of 2002, as well as other applicable laws such as the Public Finance Management Act, EPFMA. We then cover the situational analysis, which I will not go into detail today, but is to just assure the members of the committee that this annual performance plan has taken into account various external environment conditions that exist during this financial year 2016-2017, both in terms of political, economic, social, as well as the sustainable development goals of the United Nations and the other aspects that are relevant to this annual performance plan include the technological assessment of the existing cyber warfare offensive and defensive research and development required in terms of cyber warfare, legal vulnerability of the South African National Defence Force and ensuring that South Africa's borders are effectively defended, protected, secured and well managed. Under other external environments include climate change, disaster risk reduction, humanitarian assistance, and also we have taken into consideration various external military risks and taking note that the future warfare is likely to be characterized by increasing importance of information and information management, the evolution of unconventional warfare capabilities, the growing prominence of non-military aspects of warfare, the expansion and escalation of conflict beyond the traditional battlefield, the increasing nuclear powers activities in various parts of the world, and the more complex environment of interventions. Internally, we took into account deployment of South African National Defence Force in various internal operations in maritime security, in border security, in disaster management, as well as the corporate governance that is required to implement various corporate governance that is required, governance that is required to implement our annual performance plan in regards to ethics and integrity, audit committee, governance risk, governance of IT's, compliance management, stakeholder relation management, corruption and fraud management, financial management, supply chain governance, regulatory framework, court decisions that are affecting the Department of Defense. So all of these considerations and have been then taken into consideration as part of this performance plan. We also would like to assure the members that the annual performance plan of the Department of Defense is also aligned to various government, national government imperatives that include the National Development Plan Vision 2030, as envisaged in the reduction of youth unemployment, the provision of assistance in disaster aid and disaster relief. Also, the National Development Plan talks about combating maritime piracy, strengthening the national research and development capacity, building safer communities, building a capable and developmental state, as well as reduction in prevalent corruption and fraud. When it comes to the medium-term strategic framework 2014-2019, the Department of Defense is affected or has an impact on two of those outcomes, that is outcome 3 and outcome 11. Outcome 3, to ensure that all people in South Africa are and feel safe. We have one sub outcome 3 that where we are fully engaged as a country of defense, that is ensuring that South Africa's borders are effectively defended, protected, secured, and well managed. The sub-outcome 4, for secure cyberspace. And the sub-outcome 7, corruption in the public and private sectors are reduced. When it comes to outcome 11, this annual performance plan for this financial year 2016 refers to creating a better South Africa and contributing to a better and a safer world. There, the sub-outcome 3 is our deliverable, which is political cohesion within Southern Africa to ensure a peaceful, secure, and stable Southern African region. The performance plan also aligned to the new growth path in terms of attempting to enhance growth in job creation and equity. We also participate in providing opportunities to entry-level personnel by strengthening the departmental internship intake. I think we're one of the departments that has the largest number of interns that we train every year, that we take up to about 1,500 interns every year. I'm not talking about the military training, military skills development. I'm just talking about the interns who come into our department a year. And it is also foreseen that opportunities within the defense industry in accordance with approved DoD projects will be created, and the defense industry is one of the industries that make a major contribution to our national GDP as well as to the creation of jobs here in South Africa. As the Department of Defense, we do everything we can to support the national defense industry. In that regard, as I indicated, we launched the National Defense Industry Council that will constitute the highest consultative body between the defense industry and the Department of Defense on the matters of policy formulation, compliance, export support, armament acquisition, and joint planning. The DOD will be directed by the functions of the National Defense Industry Council relating to the defense industry matters. We also have the participate in forum of the South African Director Generals, FOSAT. The FOSAT has an action plan of 2014-2019, and this we are part of that FOSAT plan, and we have adopted it within the Department of Defense. We have the service delivery improvement plan. This improvement plan includes reduction in time it takes to fill a vacancy. That was very interesting because at the same time we have been giving directives that we should be cutting in our wage bill, that is compensation of employees. And sort of it creates a little bit of a challenge to say, in order to cut our wage bill, we need to take our time before we fill up a vacancy to ensure that we to decide whether that vacancy should be filled or should that post be eliminated as part of cutting the wage bill. But be that as it may be, we are still committed to reducing the time it takes to fill a vacancy of those critical posts. The payment of suppliers within 30 days is part of our annual performance plan. The finalization of disciplinary cases, improvement feedback to the public and anti-corruption line, reduction management of audit findings, timeless submission of annual reports to Parliament, and timeless responses to Chapter 9 and Chapter 10 institutions. This is part of the FOSAT action plan that is being made part of our annual performance plan for 2016-2017 that we are presenting today. And this performance plan is also aligned to the State of the Nation address for 2014-15-16 that includes promotion of local procurement, employment of youth, expansion of intensive programs in government, resourcing the defense mandate, improved implementation of financial disclosures framework, employment of the South African National Defense Force as part of the interim African capacity for immediate response to crisis Africa, as well as the conflict prevention and peacekeeping on the African continent. I think what we can say as far as ASTRIC is concerned is that we do have the ASTRIC, that is where South Africa is one of the leading members, that is the Africa capacity of immediate response to crisis. And this we see as an interim towards the establishment of the African standby force. As members recall, over the past year, we did have Africa Amani 2, which was a military exercise that was aimed at operationalizing the African standby force. In June this year, the Africa Summit will be meeting and will be evaluating the readiness for the African standby force to be operationalized. Until then, ASTRIC is our transitional platform towards resolving, towards conflict prevention and peacekeeping on the African continent projects of the AU. And the spending of public funds wisely and reducing the expenditure were part of the State of the Nation address imperatives. At this point in time, I now would like to look into our national budget for 2016. The pronouncement, as indicated by the Minister of Finance, that of cost containment, included the announcement by the National Treasury that the expenditure ceiling is cut over the next 3 years by 25 billion, mainly curtailing personnel spending. As the Department of Defense, our personnel spending has been drastically reduced for this financial year, as well as for the other other years, and that I will reflect as we go through the budget category by categories. At this point in time, I would just like to highlight the various focus areas for our Department of Defense. As far as the Minister, we have indicated that her focus areas, Minister has six focus areas, and they are highlighted there in terms of strategic direction, the resourcing of the department, the organizational renewal, the human resources renewal, the capability sustainment, as well as ordered defense commitments. For the Secretary of Defense, the focus areas are the defense strategic direction, the defense funding model. I think this is what is going to be keeping the Secretary of Defense awake this year. The funding model for financial year 2016-2017, that will include the funding for the implementation of the defense review. The human resources renewal is our one of our major challenges, as well as organizational renewal, capability sustainment and renewal, defense industry and technology, and ensuring that our other defense commitments are adhered to. What's going to be keeping the Chief of the South African National Defense Force awake for this financial year will be development of the military strategy for this financial direction, ensuring that it is implemented, the restructuring which is required of the South African National Defense Force, the renovation of various Department of Defense facilities across the country, the development and maintenance of strategic reserves, the implementation of human resource strategy, the enforcement of military discipline, the development of South African National Defense Force capabilities, the force protection, border safeguarding, revitalization and effective utilization of the South African National Defense Force reserves, as well as the renewal of the landmark defense capability. So now we will go to the budget, medium term, as well as the, within the economic framework. When you look at the trends, Honorable Chairperson and members of the committee, over the medium term, the DoD will prioritize maintaining South Africa's defense capabilities, safeguarding South Africa's borders, territorial integrity, and developing cyber security, amongst other ongoing contributions to the National Development Plan Vision 2020, as well as to the outcome 3 of the medium-term strategic framework, ensuring that all people in South Africa are and feel safe, including sub-outcome 4, that is secure cyberspace. The Department of Defense over the next financial year will continue to contribute to that outcome 3, as well as the outcome 4, as I have indicated. When it comes to the budget for this financial year, our major challenge, Honorable Chairperson, will be the compensation of employees, which will continue to be the department's largest expenditure. The 57% of the department's total expenditure for this financial year will be for the compensation of employees. And the Department of Defense has about 78,000 employees. As part of Cabinet's decision to lower the national aggregate expenditure ceiling on the compensation of employees, the Department of Defense compensation of employees has been reduced by 1.9 billion rand for the financial year 2017-2018, and the compensation of employees for the Department of Defense has been reduced by 2.9 billion rands for the financial year 2018-2019, decreasing each share of department's total expenditure to 53% by financial year 2018-2019. After consultation with the Department of Public Service and Administration, as well as with the National Treasury, the department will develop and implement a plan to manage its personnel expenditure within its reduced personnel budget. As members can see, for this financial year, 2016-17, the projected shortfall for the compensation of employees of the department will be 529 million rand. And for the other year, as I've indicated, will be 1.47 billion for 17-18 and 2.18-19. This is a reality that we are facing as planners and accounting officers for the Department of Defense. As what are we going to do with that shortfall? It is true that in a normal situation, the budget for employees is supposed to be 40%, and as I indicated, right now our budget for employee compensation is more than 50%. So we will be from time to time requesting the members of the portfolio committee to assist us as we engage with National Treasury and Department of Public Service Administration, because if you think about it, the Department of Defense relies on putting soldiers on the ground. It strongly relies on the human capital. The human capital is the most important capital for the Department of Defense. Without the human capital, there is no Department of Defense. So it should be critical that we sustain the human resource budget of the Department of Defense. As I've indicated earlier on, we have identified various ways of generating revenues through leverage of various assets of the Department of Defense. All we need now is for the portfolio committee to assist us with National Treasury that the revenues generated by leveraging various assets of the Department of Defense are ring-fenced for the utilization by the Department of Defense. I'm convinced that if we can achieve that, we should be able to meet that shortfall in our compensation of employees budget. The rest of the presentation will cover the various tendencies in our expenditures for this financial year. When you look at our goods and services, the total budget for goods and services for this year for the Department of Defense will be about 12 billion. And most of that budget will go towards contractors and property payments that remain the department's largest spending items under goods and services. They will also be driven by maintaining of equipment of the Department of Defense, such as weapons, aircrafts, ships, vehicles, and as well as army vehicles. Other significant goods and services spending anticipated over the medium term will include, for instance, 1.9 billion that will be spent on property payments, 1.3 billion that will be spent on operating leases, working with the Department of Public Works, as well as 1.2 billion on computer services, and about 896 million rand that will be spent on food and food supplies. Remember, a hungry soldier is an angry soldier. The soldiers, they do need to eat. And 810 million will be spent on subsistence and travel. When you look at the budget for subsistence and travel, I know that when you get here, most of the time the members of the portfolio committee hem us that isn't our travel and subsistence budget a little bit higher than expected. Actually, the major contributor to a higher level of travel and subsistence is that it's not just that people in the Department of Defense are traveling all over the place or all over the world as such, but it's that when we deploy our troops, whether we deploy them in the maritime security, anti-piracy fighting in the Mozambican Channel, whether we deploy them along our borders for border safeguarding, or whether we deploy them in the peacekeeping operations in Sudan and the DRC, we do need to keep the subsistence as well as the travel of those soldiers as part of our travel budget. So that's why maybe our budget sometimes can look to be higher. But on fuel, oil and gas, this year we're going to be spending about 219 million rands, and 560 would be on various operating payments. The maintenance of South Africa's defense capabilities, as highlighted in the defense review, will provide with one of the focus that is aimed at balancing that flexible modern force that uses advanced technology in response to emerging threats and the changing nature of the defense functions globally. The South African Defense Review proposes 5 critical implementation milestones, and these include milestone 1 of the Defense Review, which is arresting the decline in critical capabilities through immediate and directed interventions. So when we look at goods and services, one of our major expenditure will be directed towards maintaining South Africa's defense capabilities. Although we have highlighted that we might not have enough budget for this, we will be reprioritizing whatever budget has been allocated us for this year towards maintaining South Africa's defense capabilities in our attempt to arrest the decline in the critical capabilities of the South African National Defense Force as part of Milestone 1 of the South African Defense Review. Some of these, the details on some of these activities are part of the NSLD, which is really included as part of the of this package. The main risk to the implementation of Milestone 1, as I've indicated, is funding. Funding is not forthcoming. If the funding is not forthcoming, it will push the implementation of Milestone 1 beyond the medium-term expenditure framework. As we have indicated, if we were to be able to implement Milestone 1, we would have required an additional amount of 1.8 billion for this financial year. Yes, we have approached the National Treasury. Yes, we have informed the National Treasury about this shortfall for arresting the decline, and National Treasury so far has indicated that due to budget constraints, we are not likely to get any additional funding towards the implementation of this Milestone 1. Other expenditure plans that I would like to highlight now refers to the various defense programs that we have. Starting with the Landwards Defense Program, this is the Army. I know that sometimes when we speak about the Defense Force, we speak about Defense Force as the Army, but the Army is only one aspect of our program. The other aspects, other programs are the Maritime Defense Program, the Air Defense Program, as well as the support of the infrastructure. The Landward Defense Program is the largest in the Department of Defense, and for this financial year, we have allocated 15.6 billion rand. As far as the Landward Defense Program for this year, we will be focusing on replacing the infantry combat vehicles. This is the program that we sometimes refer to as the Wolf Acer. Presently, Denel is in the process of going towards production line to producing new infantry combat vehicles for our army, and that program is going to be the main focus for this financial year. We will be also, in addition to the infantry combat vehicles, developing the mass field feeding systems. We will also be developing new generation personal equipment for our soldiers and establishing a new command center for our anti-aircraft capabilities. As far as the air defense program is concerned, about the budget of 6.8 billion, we will be focusing this year on the three-dimensional radar system for our defense force, as well as precision-guided Air Force ammunition, what we call smart bombs, so that when these bombs are released by aircraft, they don't just go and fall anywhere where there might be high concentration of civilians, that the bombs that are released by our Air Force should be smart bombs, meaning they are precision-guided bombs that go straight to the target that the pilots can direct to. When it comes to the maritime defense program, the Navy, we are allocating to the Navy this year 4.3 billion rand. And this 4.3 billion rand will be focusing mainly on the production of the inshore and offshore patrol vessels, which will be, we hope to be acquired during this financial year, and as well as the hydrographic vessels, that is the research vessels for the Navy, which will go a long way in supporting the government program of Operation Bakisa, growing the South Africa's ocean economy. Project Bakisa will be supported by our maritime defense program, where we'll be acquiring new equipment of hydrographic vessels, inshore offshore patrol vessels, as our major expenditure for this financial year for the Navy. We will also be focusing on maintaining our infrastructure. Here we're talking about various defense facilities all across the country. There is a dire need for these defense facilities, whether they are bases, whether they are health facilities, or whether they are various stations across the country, to be maintained as well as to be refurbished. We will be focusing on that during this financial year, such as building base hospitals in Port Elizabeth, Eastern Cape. We know that we still require hospitals, military hospitals in KwaZulu-Natal and as well as in Limpopo. We will try to reprioritize for these health facilities, but I think we can only commit one for this financial year. We might not be able to commit to other provinces, therefore we focus in the Eastern Cape. There are other projects for refurbishment of our Air Force Base in Bloemfontein, as well as our Air Force headquarters in Pretoria. We'll also try and reprioritize the building of the Defense Intelligence Headquarters in Pretoria as part of our expanding and maintaining our infrastructure. In terms of force employment expenditures, we will be focusing on safeguarding South Africa's borders and territorial integrity. Over the medium term, approximately 6,000 regular and reserve force members will be trained every year for the deployment to border safeguarding. This training is budgeted for in the Landward Defense Program. In addition, the Department of Defense will increase the number of landward subunits, that is, the companies that are deployed across our borders. As members would recall, to ensure that our borders are effectively and efficiently safeguarded, we require 21 companies. If members are noticing that our borders are porous and are not as tightly safeguarded as they should be, it's because of our budget only allows us now to deploy 13 companies instead of 21. But for this financial year, we commit to increase the number of companies deployed across our borders to 15 for this financial year in terms of the budget. An amount of 3.6 billion over the medium term is budgeted for border safeguarding in our force employment program, to increase our companies deployed from 13 to 15 in safeguarding our borders. As part of our maritime security strategy, the South African Navy is re-establishing the Durban Naval Base. You will recall that at the dawn of our democracy, the Durban Naval Base was downgraded from a naval base to a naval station. But because of threat of piracy in the Indian Ocean, we are now upgrading that Durban. The Minister of Defense has already turned the sword for the upgrading of the Durban station from a naval station to a naval base to fight piracy in the Indian Ocean. Over the medium term, an amount of $35 million is budgeted in the maritime defense program to install information and communication systems and refurbish security fences and create warehouses and maintenance capacity for our Durban naval base. Regarding the peace support operations, the department will continue to provide defense force support in operations to bring economic and political stability to the continent through its participation in 5 external operations during this financial year. There will be 2 United Nations and AU mandated peace support operations in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, DRC, and Sudan. Yet it is true that the Commander-in-Chief has issued a directive for our troops to pull out of Sudan, but it is not going to happen overnight, and it is still part of this financial year to wind down on our peacekeeping operations in Sudan. There will be 2 general military assistance operations which will be rendered to the DRC as part of our advising and assisting the armed forces of the DRC developing their strategy as well as the training its defense forces. We will also be, as I indicated earlier, rendering support to the Mozambican government with counter-piracy operations on the Mozambican channel. An amount of $4.6 billion over the medium term is provided for these peace support operations on our continent. The next major expenditure trend for this financial year 2016-2017 will be for the Department of Defense to establish a cyber security capacity, cyber security. The department will continue to support outcome 3, that is all people in South Africa are and feel safe, and that this will require a cyber warfare strategy that has already been drafted to be adopted, and this cyber warfare strategy will be ready for implementation towards the end of this financial year 2016-2017. During the past financial year 2015-2016, 10 departmental personnel were transferred to the Cyber Command Center that has been established by the Department of Defense, which has improved the department's cyber monitoring capacity. The Cyber Command Center will be fully established by 2018-2019, and for this, we have allocated 340 million rand for the Department of Defense Intelligence Program over the next medium term for establishing cyber security capacity. The next presentation, I don't have to go into details with it, but it is out there for the members just to give them a roadmap, as it were, of what I've been talking about. That is, the Department of Defense budget programs are as follows. We have 18 of them. We have the administration, which is strategic leadership, planning, policy, and development. We have force employment, that we have talked about the deployment of our forces, peacekeeping in the maritime security, as well as border safeguarding. We have the naval defense force, which is mostly preparing the army. We have the air defense, where we are preparing our Air Force and for deployment. We have maritime defense, which is force preparation for the Navy, military health support, as well as defense intelligence that we've talked about, as well as general support, Program 8, which is to provide general support capabilities and services to the departments, such as logistics and the infrastructure that we have talked about. The next table, it gives you now the outline of our defense budget for 2016-2017. This defense budget amounts to approximately 1.05% of the expected gross domestic product. A country like South Africa is supposed to be budgeting 2.5 to 3% of the expected gross domestic product. But as it is, our Department of Defense is only budgeted 1.05. And by the way, the figures of 2 to 3% for a country similar to South Africa is based on good practices as well as other scientifically evaluated systems. We would always be appealing to the portfolio committee to assist us, at least to raise our budget from 1.05 at least to 1.5, so that we can have some of a breathing space in terms of arresting the decline of the capabilities of our defense force. That 1.05% then of the expected gross domestic product amounts to 47 billion rands, 159,745,000 as a budget that is allocated to the Department of Defense, and the breakdown is here for the members of the portfolio committee to scrutinize and analyze. Quickly then, when we come to the various indicators and targets for the financial year 2016, Honorable Chairperson, because of time, I'm not going to cover all of them. I will just pick up what I think are the critical ones for the members of the committee to look into. Also, those that take a bigger chunk of our budget. Number of attaches, currently we have 45. This year we'll keep the number, hopefully increase it to 46 of our defense attaches internationally. The number of military skills development members in the system, that is the number, the youth that we bring in to train as a rejuvenation of our defense force. You can see that in 2012-2013, we were able to bring in 8,000. That number dropped down to last year to 3,000 because of the budget. And this year I hope to increase at least to 4,000. The number of reserve force person days. The person days, in other words, you can imagine, we were talking about each, if I'm a member of the reserve force, I'm called in for 3 months, so I have 60 days, so you multiply that by all the reserve force that you have called in for the number of those, what we call person days, is 2.7 million that we have budgeted for, which is more than the last year, which was, more than the current one, which is 2.4. The percentage of compliance with Southern African Development Community Standby Force, we are committing that we will comply 100%, as well as our ordered commitment, that is external operations, we are committing 100% compliance, and deployment into our internal operations, we are committing 100%. A number of military exercises that we are going to have, currently we had 5 military exercises for this year, we are committing 4 military exercises. As I indicated, in terms of the number of companies deployed, I think what is to pay attention to is that in 2013 we had 11 companies, we were able to increase it to 13 this financial year, 15-16 that ended, and for the coming financial year we hope to increase it to 15. What worries me is that we remain 15 all the way through 2019. I don't have visibility when am I going to have budget to expand this to 21, so that I can assure members of the portfolio committee that our borders are well defended. The number of forced employment hours flown per year, these are the for the Air Force, for the Air Force to maintain their skills in flying hours. 2013 we were at 11,000, we are now coming down to 5,000, that is concerned. But the number of hours at sea, we hope to increase it. We were at 7,000 in 2013, but now I think we are maintaining it at around, we are able to maintain it at around 12,000 per year. We'll try and keep it at that level. The other slides that are coming in terms of the indicators, as I said, I just highlighted a few of them, but the total number of indicators that we have as a Department of Defense, the total number is really 65. And the next slide, in terms of our strategic map, we put this here for the members to see how our department structure and functionality is mapped out in terms of the output, in terms of internal processes, resource management, and building for the future. This is the requirement of the National Treasury. The ones that are orange, if you can, if they are color-coded, the orange one or the yellow ones are really for the Defense Force, as well as members of the Defense Force, and the green ones are for the Secretariat, the Civil Control of Defense Force. And here we, it's a map that we are putting in as our strategic map for this financial. It hasn't really changed over the next 5 years. And the others, we are just going into details and the breakdown when you look at the objective number one, that is conduct for that defense commitment in accordance with government policy. I will go on to the next output after the defense commitment, which will be provide mission ready defense capabilities. We have covered all of this. We are just highlighting that this is how the National Treasury would like us to put out these tables for the members, for our presentation to Parliament, to ensure standardization of presentations across our departments, including Table 4, the Output 4, which is ensure defense compliance with regulatory framework. In other words, it's part of our the sub-output 4 deals with the percentage of DoD compliance with various regulatory framework where we are monitored by the portfolio committee, especially in terms of the number of audit qualifications, the deployment including training exercises where applicable, management of performance assessment within the department, and the percentage of payments within 30 days, as well as the percentage of compliance with other regulatory framework that we have. At this point, Honorable Chairperson, the last part of our presentation, I'd like just to cover quickly the South African Defense Review 2015. As I indicated, this year, 2016-2017, is going to be our first year for the implementation of our Defense Review 2015. I think it's going to be important from time to time when I come to present here to the Portfolio Committee to keep on highlighting, maybe not for the purpose of repeating, but as for the matter of emphasis, what are these milestones and how are we doing with each milestone. Milestone number one, we have 5 milestones of this defense review, and each milestone is expected to take about 5 years. So the defense review as a whole then is a 25-year plan with 5 milestones, each milestone taking about 5 years. The first milestone starting this year is that of arrest the decline in critical capabilities through immediate directed interventions. The second milestone will be to rebalance and reorganize the defense force as the foundation for future growth. The third milestone will be to create a sustainable defense force able to meet other defense commitments. The fourth milestone will be to enhance the defense force capacity to respond to emerging threats and a wide range of strategic challenges. And milestone number 5 will be for the defense of the Republic against any directed threat. If you look at the graph that we put up there, we are saying this is the current situation now at milestone 0. We are at the rest of the decline for milestone 1. If we don't, we are not effective in arresting this decline, that graph will drop far lower than that, and it will move all the milestones to the right. And if we don't effectively implement the defense review for milestone 1, all other milestones will move to the right. And the critical success factors for us to arrest this decline, we have already ensured that the Parliament has endorsed the defense review, so that when we come in and talk about arresting the decline for milestone 1, and when we go to National Treasury, we are able to say to the National Treasury, the reason we are asking for the funds to arrest the Milestone 1 is because the cabinet, the parliament, the government has approved this defense review. So what is required now is funding. The critical success factor, therefore, will be that this Milestone 1 is appropriately funded. And for that to happen, we have to have the national consensus that we could ask the portfolio committee to be a driving engine for developing that national consensus for the funding of the defense review to arrest the decline of the capabilities of the defense force. This will have to be command-driven, interactive timeline, and various value proposition focus. In terms of value proposition, we've already proposed to the portfolio committee as department to say one of the value proposition we have is that let us ring fence the revenues generated through leveraging of assets of the Department of Defense for the implementation of the defense review. The other graph, when you look at on the right side, again, I'm just here trying to map the defense review, what it talks about. It tells you the various stakeholders, I don't know whether they are visible on the screen, they might not be, that the leadership is at the level of the minister and the secretary for defense, as well as the funding. The personnel and the organization operation is at the level of the chief SANDF, as well as Arms Corps and the defense industry, in terms of arresting this decline. There are certain small maps that you see out there. Also, they are going with various milestones. You can look at those maps as the areas of what the trajectory that comes out of the defense review for the South African National Defense Force strategic influence areas. That strategic influence currently in SADC, but we do have to have a strategic influence that will go up to East Africa, Central Africa, and West and the elements of West Africa, if really we are to ensure that the defense review is implemented and that the people in South Africa feel safe, as well as ensuring socio-economic development, because South Africa cannot develop as an island. We would have to have that kind of a trajectory in terms of participation of strategic areas of influence. The other dashboard for the defense review is shown in this slide, maybe slide number 71 in my book, if they are all correlated, whereby we are indicating that if you look at that slide, at that map that we are presenting, arresting the decline, we are saying arresting the decline is milestone number one. And we have established now, what are we going to do to arrest the decline? If you want to look at what are we going to do to arrest the decline, you have that gray cloud that goes all the way to milestone number five. That focuses that most of the work to arrest the decline has to be done in the first 5 years, which is permanent. We have established now the permanent planning teams for this, and we have defined the DOD integrated interventions. And these are the project management of this map, goes all the way from milestone number one to milestone number five, and the deliverables are the very proposition of a joint force employment. So the main focus for milestone number one is the capability of the joint force employment, as well as the various process requirements that include the policy strategy, and planning. So this is just the summary of the defense review in terms of the map. Then the next slide we are talking more about it to say that the defense review planning and implementation framework and implementation plan has already started, and this is where we are delineating policy strategy and planning and the reporting requirements that will guide the programmatic resource implementation of this review over the next 4 medium-term strategic framework periods, that is over the next 20 years. Furthermore, 2015 we saw establishment of several departmental oversight structures charged with responsibility of ensuring the implementation of the defense review. For 2016-2017, we plan to see the incremental resource implementation of this defense review as reflected in this annual performance plan. And defense review milestone number one will be costed for this financial year. So the estimate has already been done. I hope that by end of July I should have finalized the costing for the whole of milestone one in terms of budgeting, and I can come to the portfolio committee to present the full cost of milestone number one, which will be finalized and taken through the various department program budget evaluation processes before we bring it here to the portfolio committee. Again, for the next part of our presentation of the defense plan, of our annual performance plan, will be, as I've indicated, this policy mandate welfare. Now we are giving the textual presentation of it. We are giving the schematic of it, and now this is the textual presentation of milestone by milestone. As I indicated, if the protocol committee would like us to come back maybe at a different sitting just to focus on the implementation plan of our defense review, we will be happy to do that. All we are highlighting here are the activities that we are going to do for this financial year as part of the implementation of the defense review milestone number one. As I have the way I would summarize them is that number one is sustained order defense commitment, and we have people that will be responsible for that and the deliverables for this financial year. I'm looking now at slide number 76, which will talk about sustained internal operation, peace missions, intervention operations, support to government departments, sustained international commitments, promulgated joint force employment, promulgated border safeguarding, military strategy, acquisition of armaments. It still takes us a long time to acquire the required armaments and equipment for the Department of Defense. So, as Secretary for Defense, I will be focusing on promulgating acquisition of armaments, DoD policy, what we call DAP 1000, and the promulgation for the defense industry to try and fast-track the process of acquisition in the Department of Defense. Some of it will involve the Department of Defense, some of it the Armed Forces Acquisition Agency, and others the defense industry itself, because some delays are arising out of the defense industry. The next will be defense facilities maintenance. These are all milestone number one activities that we are looking at. The next will be the restructuring of the South African National Defense Force. The responsibility and everything is all highlighted here. The chief of the South African National Defense Force, in terms of promulgating a blueprint for force design and the promulgated force structure as part of milestone number one. The fifth activity is the human resource management, which SECDEF and the Chief of Human Resources will be required to rejuvenate the Department of Defense, the establishment of the Defense Academy, the enhanced military discipline, as the military discipline bill hopefully will come to the portfolio committee maybe after elections for engagement and discussions. The next activity of this milestone number one is to establish the relationship between the Department of Defense programs and accredited tertiary institutions for both civilian and military members for education, training, and development. We have to look into the defense funding model, which I will be doing with the CEO, as well as the 10th activity, that is the defense industry engagement, as part of arresting. All of these activities are part of arresting. Activities we are going to engage this year as part of arresting the decline of the capabilities of the South African Self-Defense Force. And number 11 is strategic direction for the implementation of the defense review that the Secretary of Defense is obviously supposed to drive, as well as a strategic communication intervention where the Secretary of Defense hope to engage and involve the portfolio committee in assisting us for the strategic communication of these interventions to members of parliament as well as to the members of the society. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, every milestone is going to take 5 years to implement. We are not talking about the process that is not the taxes. I think they are going to make a consequence in the past. You know, the process is going to be a process that my team and my forces to implement because they are leading to each other. Now, I'm going to given the opportunity to engage with this presentation. In the first round, we'll take three questions and then we'll come back and take other questions in that order. Honorable Gamedes will be the first. Honorable Marais will be fourth.
Thank you, sir. And once again, the presentation. There are two main issues that I want to raise. I think we have agreed with the Honourable Bishop. So it will be much better. Two issues. One is the issue that they have of payment of invoices in anything. And you targeted yourself to the department. So I presume without deciding that you are not doing the service department, you could be exceeded or seized. Don't you think this is really a known target? Taking into account that quite a number of small SMMEs are going under because it takes time to get this through. So your target for 5 years, as the chair was saying, 35% of the things is going to be too low because of our economic transformation. So there are SMMEs that will spend some time without this payment. That's the first issue. The second issue is your personnel, which you say spends at 67%. I think it's normal practice that it should be about 40%. At the same time, we've got an aging army, the one that must exist and the one that must come in. How do you reconcile the two? And how do you really reach the 40% that is the normal standard? And how do you keep the old personnel that has got experience and then has some new intake? Are you going to lose some employees? Are you going to do any other plan just for this procedure? Thank you, sir.
But what I understand is that if you pay 75%, what would be happening to the 25%? What would they be leaning on? Is that the question? Thank you very much, Honorable Marais.
Thank you very much, Chair. This is just a personal observation. I think this, the Secretary has highlighted so many challenges that I think it actually deserves a workshop between us and the department to go to really understand and comprehend all these challenges, because clearly there are major conflicting issues and challenges. And just another observation is that, we've got a fantastic defense review. We've got a national development plan. But then there's some clear conflict with the budget and the economic constraints. So you, on the one hand, you've got a fantastic document, and I always say, paper is very patient. They don't complain, they don't protest anything. But, you know, you need to have money in support of what he said there. So I ask myself the question, you know, we are clearly in conflict, or in a conflict situation with ourselves in terms of our direction. Because clearly we've got a defensive view where we want to be, and the national development plan, and then on the other hand you've got this concerned state, sorry, from the sector that highlighted the fact that, you know, if we don't address the milestone one now, it's going to move on, and then it will probably not be 35, but 35 years. And that's the reality, and one not probably has to be, where do we really want to be in terms of, or do we have to review the strategic future of the defense force? You know, do we have to increase the things? Do we have to increase border control? Do we have to go in conventional warfare? Things like that, and I think that is the thing that will probably support us and help us to understand that and to just determine and to go with it. But to just address a few issues, and as I said today, you can't do justice in the have to ask address. My first major thing in terms of what I see as the primary objective of the defense force and the protection of South Africa's sovereignty, involvement in peacekeeping, and then our ocean economy or present of peace. The first one, I've made a concern with that it's only 13 to 15 units, border control units. And we know that you guys have reported to us in headquarters about that, you know, you can't protect the border. So you have to find an alternative. And is that, or a complement rather to that? And is that not your air defense capabilities, border control capabilities, in terms of scale-up capabilities? I haven't seen that you have addressed that. And when you go through this, the strategic document and going forward, then you see we've got a major concern and a problem, not only in terms of our land borders, but our sea borders as well. Operation Pakistan must not be only supported by maritime capabilities, but by airlift and air control capabilities. And when we don't see that at all, we know that our peacekeeping in Africa is very important. You know, we have to have reliable airlift capabilities. It's been reported to us in the past where the defense also said to us that some of the challenges in Central Africa is that you've got an environment that is so difficult. So now they must follow these rebels to the swamps. And by the time they get to them, they are gone because it's their own area. And so if you don't have any capability of taking your troops closer or behind them in the lines and be in a position to go and lift them, bring them out of there, it certainly weakens competition tremendously against our enemies. Some of the things that I've picked up, especially at the Air Force, that is a concern of mine. We see that there's a decline in maintenance of the Air Force on the one hand. And we know the problems with inquiry and the maintenance of inquiry and the justification of the maintenance of inquiry by a new plan, which is a major concern. Secondly, there's a decrease in transport and maritime capability, as we mentioned. So if you've got a decline in transport and maintenance capability within the Air Force, it certainly affects Akisa, it certainly affects our border control. You've got an increase in fuel, oil and gas allocation. But we've got a decrease in flying hours, which sounds in itself contradictory. Increase in fuel, oil and gas, decrease in fuel and flying hours. But we've got an increase in allocation to DBIP. We've got an increase in operating leases. Secretary, today is the fourth, I don't know if you want to tell us, in terms of the arms group, you know, whether that's had its impact on that. And we must compare these things to each other, say, you know, where are we going? How are we prioritizing money in the direction? Yes, we've got a main concern. And colleague as indicated through the aging workforce, there's what major that is, how do you balance these things? And I just want to mention that it's good, and I support the idea of ring-fence money, but we know what is government policy. Only one central revenue fund. And everything goes in there, whether it's fuel levies, which the AU refund funding or the UN refunding, all goes into one revenue fund, and then everybody fights like cats and dogs to get some money out of that revenue fund. Well, that's when you obviously need a government policy amendment. And we know that that's going to be very difficult, but you know, the fact that you must benefit from the, like the peacekeeping. So you've got major, and how do one balance these things? Because clearly, you know, these things that I've mentioned, I'm sure it's not only a concern of mine, but it must be a concern of yours. Because it impacts on, and you must remember right in the beginning, you've indicated that you're running the challenge of not being able to properly protect the sovereignty of South Africa. If this decline is going on, in terms of if you can't turn around milestone one, and I think I want to be realistic. We've already indicated the president said no more money. So we will not be able to fund milestone one. So it's already a reality that that will be moved on. But everything that we do, we must be able to see how we can change that direction. And even if we must ask the minister to really go and rethink together with the Minister of Finance and say, how do we position the resource going forward? But that's the shelf of a fantastic idea and of a lot of people that accommodate there. Because as we indicated, we must be going down to 40% again. Not like this. I think we are 58 at the moment.
Fifty-seven
at the moment. So it's way beyond any indication by government at all. Anyway. So something drastic must be done, and we cannot make as if that we will get the money and we will talk to them. We will not get the money. The economic outlook is not there. And obviously in terms of the Air Force, we will have to see, we know that this is an aging C-130 fleet. Old aircraft. I don't know, it's been refurbished and things like that. But it's old aircraft. But they haven't got refuel capability. I don't think those aircraft is able to patrol the land border and the sea and come back to us. So we will have to see how do we do that, and especially the maintenance on our aircraft. We also see that there's an increase in training. But we know what the minister has said, we can't train them in South Africa, so send them abroad. But that money goes out to Russia and Cuba, which is something that we must keep here. What is the problem with our training capability in South Africa? I know the minister has probably been quoted out of context to say that the aircraft is stolen. We know it's not in the case. It's harmful. How can we revive that? Look at our own capabilities of not only training, but our troops on the ground, and our people under the sea, and our pilots in the air. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Honorable Paulo.
Thank you, Chief. I think we said that from the presentation. I think that you should see that the inviting picture and appreciate the concentration. I think in terms of the border control, I appreciate that you're saying that we're going to be sitting from 10-15 financial year, red level, and later on the next 50. And now we're going to go to 50. I think that's true, we can keep moving. But over and above that, I think this border control needs some force multiplier. In terms of the, we need to bring in technologies, upscale the technology to deal with border control. I support the technology
the proposal that we came up with just in terms of giving these milestones, particularly milestone one, because milestone one would be very important to want to ensure that the is progressively generated. So the issue of increasing demand, I think we really need to put it with the treasure. So as that money has get back in the defense systems. So that means that the big problem that honorable colleagues is raising. And the issue of the endowment focus, I think we now need to move with the speed of the organization of implementing this mission of these properties. So if we can have the mind of some, they can manage the defense of this. It is also to my understanding that as you build the funding, like you say, we may need to make an integrated approach instead of looking at the cost. Because milestone 5 is also strictly linked to giving milestone 1. So when we look at the funding, we need an integration because recently there are a lot of some drugs. We don't know whether they are age or they are what. So we may need an integration in terms of that. And I just want to check the capacity of the defense works commission. Because I see that it's a serious progressive step toward ensuring that we assist public health. We assist public health in terms of these minor maintenances and so on. Because what I'm seeing in terms of this defense work commission, I think all those ones that are also aging in many institutions are seeing the rescuing process. In terms of ensuring that we don't just get people out of the system in the midst of this unemployment process of the crisis. And I also to appreciate the progress that you have made around the 40% and 7% that has been raised by the Honorable Commission. I think from the presentation, I think there is a progressive step in terms of where we're going. And I think I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Member. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, and Honorable Fonga for the kind words addressed to me and the Department for the presentation. Honorable Committee, we'll start with the 30 days, which would like to cover other questions also. I have instructed that target be revised for 75%. This was the target that was submitted to National Treasury in November. At that point in time, I was personally directing a project towards facilitating the processes for 30 days payment. And this involved training all our units across the country, as well as modernizing our IT systems towards monitoring the payment with 30 days. So yes, when we submitted in November, we submitted a figure of 75, which eventually after approval by National Treasury, we couldn't change it. We went straight for printing. But I can inform the member that as of today, over the past 3 months, I've been informed by my chief financial officer before I came here, because it is still a project that I personally am driving, is that today we are at 85%. So as of end of March, 85% of our invoices are paid within 30 days. So I think I will have to just cancel it, because I've told the chief financial officer for this year I want the target to be 90%. So we would like to move it from 75 to 90%. I've already moved it in my performance agreement that I signed with the minister. I think the rest of my staff is behind. better also move it to 90%. We pay personal attention. We know the impact. We are concerned about the impact that the delays in payment within 30 days has on the small and medium, particularly the small and medium enterprises. And I would like each time when we give a quarterly report, I think the next time I appear before the committee maybe will be just for the workshop. We will be able to accept that invitation, but we are scheduled to appear to give the fourth quarter report from January to March of 2016, and I would be happy at that point in time also to raise that debate of 30 days to be held accountable to see whether are we getting anywhere where we want to go, because at the end of the day, we have to be 100%. The reason why we are not 100% might be because of practical challenges or difficulties. If you imagine, some of them can be very emotional. The fuel arrives in Duba days, and then the invoice goes out. When we send people from the financial management department to go and check whether the fuel was delivered, the fuel was not delivered, but the invoice is already sitting with me. That will make you emotionally angry, because that's corruption and fraud. When someone said that fuel has been delivered and sent an invoice when it was not delivered. So besides that, it is not an excuse for not paying. We have to value, we have to receive, sign the receipt of goods and services. We have to validate that the receipts, those goods and services have been validated through check and balances systems, internal controls that we have put into place, and we are still improving on them, and we have to have that invoice of goods and services delivered paid within 30 days from the day it was delivered. So it must be validated and paid within 30 days. That's the instruction I've given to the department. I will continue to monitor that. The issue of our HR budget, compensation of employees, it's a challenge. But we then have to analyze where it comes from, where are we going, what could we have done better. Of course, it comes from the establishment of the South African National Defense Force itself during our democracy, where we had amalgamation of more than 27 statutory and non-statutory forces that might have involved a lot of duplication. But maybe for the last 20 years we have celebrating that democracy and successful constitution of our South African National Defense Force that might have fallen behind in terms of rejuvenating and refining and making this defense force an efficient defense force. As a result, we are sitting maybe, as I think as indicated, about 78,000 members of the Department of Defense. And we then need to rejuvenate, as part of the defense, we rejuvenate the South African Self Defense Force. And we have an HR plan that we're submitting, that is Human Resource Development Plan, that is submitted to the Department of Public Service Administration. And some of it involves what you can call MEMS, that is Military Exit Mechanism. We get frustrated, Honorable Committee, by the policies that we have developed ourselves. Yes, as an accounting officer and the minister, we have the tool towards military exit mechanism, but the Public Service Administration recalls this as military exit mechanism for the purpose of transformation. So if you want to say to Dr. Kuluva, you know, you are more than 6 years old now, it's time to leave the defense force, when it gets to the public administration, say, oh, but Dr. Kuluva, you are black, you are not part of the transformation, you can't leave the defense force, because defense force, the military exit mechanism was for transformation. You leaving the defense force is not going to do anything to transformation, therefore you cannot leave the defense force. And they write back and say that, thanks, we received your military exit mechanism for this manner. Federal Public Service Administration will not support you because it's not in support of transformation as the policy was designed originally. So sometimes our hands as an accounting officer are tied by certain policies and decisions that we ourselves as lawmakers have made for the Department of Defense, and I have to comply. I can't then say no, 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 going ahead anyway. But somehow I'm looking for a loophole for now till that policy has been stated by public service administration to say we are leaving. If it's not for transformation, at least the minister can still approve on certain policies. I know we talk about the age also. That was the age, when the minister announced that the age does not have to be 60 for the Defense Force, I think it was a little bit misinterpreted because it didn't mean that we are not going to change the act and everybody. He was just saying that where skills are required for retention and development of skills, we shouldn't have a policy that forces people to leave when they reach a certain age, like a 60 for the men in uniform and 65 for those who are not in uniform. So we do have a plan. We do have challenges sometimes in implementing because of the policies. But for me, when you look at that, and that involves attrition simply means that when people reach a certain stage and they're able to leave, maybe you don't have to replace them. And sometimes, of course, it might include death sometimes as part of your attrition. And it can also sometimes include reskilling. I think personally where I'm actively involved is the reskilling of our members of the Defense Force, reskilling them work very closely with the chief of the South African National Defense Force in reskilling our Defense Force so that they can develop other skills. And this includes engineering. For instance, I think people might have seen during various exhibitions that we have now engineering of water recirculation. We can, as a Defense Force, play a major role in assisting the local municipalities in their water recirculation and maintenance, as well as vehicle maintenance. Right now, we have signed a contract with the Cubans who are assisting the Department of Defense in repairs of the E vehicles, that is army vehicles, including the Rattels and others. I think over the past 2 or 3 months, 140 vehicles that were lying around unused through the contract we have with the Cuban, they have now been vehicles have been refurbished, repaired, and are ready to run on the road. They've been actually preserved and waiting. They are now combat ready, and they've all been put on as our contribution to the SADC standby force, as well as the African standby force. So in cases where we used to get rid of these old vehicles, either through auction or even donate them to some of the neighboring countries, as we've done in the past, we're now no longer auctioning old vehicles, we are no longer donating these old vehicles, we are repairing them through the transfer of skills that we have with the Cuban technicians to our members of the Defense Force. And in the process, we are saving government a lot of money rather than engaging taking all our vehicles for the private sector. Level 1 and Level 2 repairs of maintenance is going to be done in-house. And Level 3 and 4, that is engine overhauls and gearboxes and so forth, will still be done in the private sector by the industry. I think I might be long-winded a little bit, but it was just to emphasize that we are actively involved to try and reskill the members of the Defense Force into various skills, including the defense works formation. Rather than, I think honorable members as they've indicated, and especially I think honorable Bongo, you were talking to it when we were talking about the defense works formation that we have now established. We are now building capacity within the Defense Works Formation. The Minister has signed an MOU with the Minister of Defense of Public Works, whereby we are beginning to take over the work of maintenance and repairs of our facilities, doing it in-house, internally, as the Department of Defense. All of this, I think, will go a long way in ensuring that slowly but surely we begin to reduce our bill, our wage bill, to where it is supposed to be. But to answer the question directly, how are you going to get the policies? If we can just for us, just that I can't do policy for HR. All our HR policies are done by Department of Public Service and Administration, and this will the government will change very, very slowly. But if we can get policies within the public sector administration that will be now user-friendly towards cutting the waste bill, I think we can cut the waste bill without necessarily causing too much pain and suffering for people and losing jobs and or even being that each time when Secretary of Defense comes and announces that I have a waste shortage of 500 million, everybody starts panicking to say, well, it means that you are going to be retrenched. No, no, no. Nobody is going to be retrenched. We hope to get from 57% budget to 40% without retrenching people, but reskilling and redirecting the capacity that they have. Honorable Murray, I fully agree with you. We do deserve a workshop to understand various challenges that we're facing with the Department of Defense. What I try to do, though, is not come and complain, not come to a committee here just to complain, is to try and propose certain solutions. And the solutions that we are proposing really will need the lawmakers, like yourself, Honorable Murray, and honorable members, to assist us as lawmakers. As South Africans, we make the laws. These laws are made here in Cape Town. They're not made anywhere. So Cape Town can make the laws that will help us solve our challenges. I strongly believe in that. Even in the question of saying the law says we must, the money generated must go to the fiscal according to the PFMA. The PFMA was drafted here. I'm still waiting for the amendment, the first amendment of PFMA. From the Honorable Chairperson and the team to help us get this, because if I'm not mistaken, I might be mistaken, but if I'm not mistaken, the Minister of Treasury can give exemption. Yes, the PFMA says every month all the revenue generation must go to the fiscal. We know why, it's a good law, it's a law to live with, but I think they can make an exemption in certain circumstances, and that's the only exemption that I would ask. And I would even be very specific that the revenues generated on these three areas, 1, 2, 3, is exempted from going to the fiscal, will be kept by the Department of Defense. I'm not saying you must scrap PFMA. PFMA is a good law for all of us to live with as such. And the force multiplier through various technologies is something that we are looking at. I put budget aside, especially force multiplier for the border safeguarding. I put budget aside for research and development. Maybe I shouldn't say how much, but it's quite substantial for this year and over the next 5 years to the CSIR, the Council of Science and Industrial Research, for development of radar systems that will be able to differentiate between animals and man. So that when the, I think the radar will be the way to go, and I hope in a year's time I'll be able to come and report, because what I like about this research is that it is run by black women. They've hired young black engineers coming out of who the industry didn't want. You know, the industry, they like old engineers and so forth for experience. They forget that the young ones have got the latest technology. The old engineers are scared. So the black women went in and hired these young black engineers, and then I said, please, here are the funds, let's go. Here's the radar. The radar must be able to detect whether it's an animal or a human being crossing the border. And I'm told that they are doing very well, and I'm told that in a year's time I should be able to report on that research in terms of how far we are going. But this is to say, yes, we are consciously aware of the need for technology development, and the Department of Defense were one of the departments that contribute towards research and development, and our research and development right now is focused on the areas that we have highlighted. We are focusing on maritime security in our research development. We are focusing also, of course, we talk about the cyber security, but we are also focusing on a most efficient way of maintaining our border at defense with the available technology at our disposal. Then I know that the Air Force is in the process of reprioritizing their budget regarding the airlift capabilities. The airlift, fuel, refueling in air capabilities are the priorities. Their budget has been a little bit limited, but I think it's not visible for me for this year, but definitely in the next coming year, they are still debating, frankly speaking, they are still debating whether to acquire the new C-130s, I think call them C-130Js, or to drop the whole program of C-130s and go to a new program of airlift capabilities. I don't get involved. I really leave them as the end users to develop, to research, and come up with a most cost-efficient way of getting these capabilities that we all know that is so much required, and I fully agree, both for border safeguarding as well as maritime security. Once the Air Force has researched, developed, and came up with the solutions that they would like to have, they will give those requirements to the Secretary of Defense, and I'll be very happy to look at the budget availability for such capabilities that is required, including for the peacekeeping operations. I'm told that as far as the maintenance, declining maintenance Air Force equipment, it's, sometimes you might see the reduction in the expenditure on the maintenance. It might not mean that capability is being neglected. It might mean maybe some efficiencies in the system that are coming in, but also also reprioritization within the Air Force itself. The one challenge that they indicated to me is that because of their limited fleet, sometimes even when it's time for them to go on repairs and maintenance, they have to hold back a little bit longer, simply because when it goes over there for maintenance and repairs, they are not able to when it goes on to repairs, they are not able to have that used for or available for their environment. And that's in terms of the flying hours, one of the reasons why the flying hours, you might see them reduced, so those flying hours are referring just for employment and flowers, I mean hours, it's not to the training. The training hours are being maintained for post preparations, but the hours I think that are declining are mostly employment, where the Air Force itself is being employed in various operations. Yes, in terms of operating this is it is a challenge that if the aircraft are not available, then we have to lease through various operating leases. And right now, I think as you might have seen in the papers, we are out on open bidding for leasing of a VVIP aircraft because of the limited fleet capability that we have in our fleet for the VVIP. And the training of Air Force personnel, I know that it is really a priority for the Chief of the South African National Defense Force and the Chief of the Air Force. Even if we talk about training our pilots, whether they are being trained in Cuba or they are being trained in Russia, there is no doubt that the local training is where we all want to be. It's just that 20 years later, we found that when we try to get our pilots trained with whatever local capabilities that's available, there is limitation right across. So it is not a permanent solution, but it is a short to medium term solution to get that, rather than reaching until our pilots can get trained in South Africa in one capacity or another. Let's have them trained overseas, wherever they can get this training from, and then they will be coming back hopefully to start the training. To start the training of others. The whole issue of training capabilities and human resource development is a big issue even within the defense review that we have been talking about. General Bonga, I think I fully agree with you that they were making progress from 13 companies to 15 companies where we are now. And our target, we used to put 21 as our target, but we were told that we can't put the targets if we're not going to be able to meet them if we're budget constrained. So we're still putting 15 even into the outer years until we can leverage on the budget that might be made available to us, as well as I fully agree about bringing in the technology. And also when it comes to the big issue that the defense review itself is in clear conflict, I think Honorable Murray, you raised that, that the defense review is in clear conflict with our budget. I think that is true. And at the same time, I think this is exactly the right place for this question to be raised and to be debated on, because this is where we come to you and say, as South Africa, what kind of a defense force do you want? On one side, you are telling us to deploy, to protect the borders, maritime security, support Operation Pakiso for the growing of the ocean economy and the peacekeeping operations. On the other side, you are telling us that you don't have a budget. Next year, next week, the minister is presenting our budget vote. And I hope that the debate of our budget vote will be exactly that, so that here is our defense review. I hope we are not opening a debate on the defense review, because the debate on the defense review, Honorable Chairperson, was from 2012, before I joined the department, to a point whereby I'm almost now 5 years into the department. That's how long it took for the defense review. So I'm not opening the debate on the defense review. Here is the defense review. Next week, I'm going to the minister and say, please, minister, ask money for the implementation of this defense review that was debated by this parliament and adopted by this parliament. This is what the parliament said to me, I must go and implement. But otherwise, of course, it's a dynamic document. We expect that every 5 years you might agree that you want to review the defense review every 5 years. So until you review a defense review, it's my document to implement. Please give me the money. Thank you.
It's not a bad idea. What is the age on the defense review at all levels? It's a very important document. But as we say, we will look at all these matters as we go to our question. And I think the commission will be able to make informed decisions to take a medical question. Honorable Nathan?
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm Councillor Sheffield. I'm sorry. That we're talking about the implementation of the defense review. Now, when I'm listening on the plan, we're talking about it can happen in the municipalities. Now, there's one thing that does seem to my mind now. Remember, during the time of the rain in the flood area, where you are told that children are being taken by the streams of the rain, and sometimes some went into the rain in other areas. Now, I just wanted to know, because sometimes I'm told that there were field bridges that were being seen at the hands. I wanted to know if there are a skilling program together with the development that they are talking about, can take part of the affair in assisting, particularly in this one area, in terms of building the business, so that it is well in time for voting or going to school or going to the clinic, they can be able to go to. That's the only thing that I wanted to raise. Otherwise, I'm very comfortable about everything that progress that I can make. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the Honorable
Trump. I just want to add some clarity on the issue of the Darfur withdrawal. If the withdrawal is effective, then we would say this, because there was a memo proposing from the President of the Supreme Court with the government's South Africa's frustration and support but there's now an upwards notice given that they will withdraw from the pool, and therefore they should be saving the money that will be spent for the next year would then not be spent, except for the withdrawal and of course the relocation of the equipment. The other one I want to ask is, the question was not answered save by the fuel, the additional fuel that has been bought by the department and is not being used for flying hours, what is it actually being used? Why did they buy such fuel, oil and gas? And especially in which of the three, fuel, oil and gas is not being specific. The other one, the flying hours, this is the first time in the past few years that we speak about flying hours in the report, as the flying hours required in order for your license to be current and for you to be also meeting the international standards, that is a separate flying hour schedule, which we honor per week. I'd like to know when was that introduced, was that another classified section? So the flying hours is not clear at all, I'd like to clarify on that one. The sea hours, although it's been cut, we know it was 60,000, which is not 12,000, not even the optimum for what's required. And also the demand, I know that the Secretary of Defense has indicated that they won't go to the West Coast of Africa, that they will stay on the West Coast and not extend what that trade was raised earlier. Yeah, and there's of course there's a decrease of oil gas in the maritime sector, which means there will be less of growth because there won't be a gas available. The other one is of course the update on cross viral and cross health. We do understand there's regulating that the black and forth that has to be passed because that legislation only becomes really effective when that project is going to be implemented. At this stage it is just a few years old or not. So that's and medicine is still a problem. Medicine of course we find that the budget has increased, but the health activities have decreased. I'd like to know, and machine equipment has also increased in the health sector, understands. So I'd like to know what is the increase for? And the 50% stock is still being maintained. So if there's more money, why is the money not being used to provide more stock and availability for the soldiers? I'd like to raise the issue of the 6,000 that has been indicated in the presentation today, and there's only 4,000 in this investment basically going in there, or that will go to the academy, which is only 4,000. But today we're saying that every year we're gonna prepare 6,000 to be put. So there is a contradiction. I'm waiting shortfall of the 2,000, where they're coming from. Is that the NYS or the other system that's been under the rural development project? Because that was supposed to be just some training and intensive that we offered, not training for the army and for the military. The other one is the patient has not been completely developed. The legal environment is one of the most challenging ones, and that the department is performing very high, 50% success rate, and always uncertain about how they're going to deal with litigation. So the issue of the 42 banks is still outstanding, and that will lead to a large sum of money. And what continues is to plan for that, and some other cases as well. So I'd like to know what is the situation, what is the litigation, and the department's proactive arrangements. And of course, going on litigation, why has no military judge been further appointed to deal with our disciplinary matters outside the country, where people are sent into the DRC to deal with cases, and you know the UN report has come out even on the boundary of the issue of that country, and also the DRC. And of Africa has also been found foul, meaning that they have also committed crimes. So if we want to deal with the litigation and also disciplinary matters, the disciplinary bill needs to be passed. That has been spoken about for the last 2 years that I don't know about, but we have not sat down to pass that bill so that it becomes a formal law that can be used to, of course, discipline members of the business. So I'd like to know what the status of the disciplinary bill that's supposed to be tabled for consideration. I think that the other one is just for clarity's sake. Why was it in the news about the Danel and Saudi arms factory? Was there any knowledge or defense that they knew about this maybe? Why is it in the papers? What is the actual status of it? And what is most likely? Thank you very much.
Thank you. This would be the last round. This would be the last round. Any other honorable member?
Thank you very much, Chair. maybe just before I ask the question, I in case, and you're probably not able to answer on the SDA. can ask questions of the.
So you're using the cross?
Yes.
Part of the
yes.
GT.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes.
I'm very used to the
engineering of
okay.
The policy of the comics is that we need not to very much more on the on issues that I don't understand on the for the management is still coming and go to land of course that for today a lot of other issues would be raised. Because I see the line of questioning of the problem itself, it's also very much on issues that are still going to be there on the fourth quarter for which will be presented to you when we go through. So let's deal with issues that relate to the budget.
No, I think that's what the people have the understanding. And then it should be the understanding and teach the answer.
Yes, that's right. They've been indicated that there's a reduction of 350 million in CSTA. They put in the time. Now, I mean, that is obviously of my concern. I mean, we don't know what is the balance in the state of the account. Because that's obviously where you must prepare your aircraft and your fish life, because things like that. And it hasn't been indicated how much of the spent on fish life, the basic cost. Can you indicate to us, I mean, why is there a huge reduction? I mean, in the state of the account, I'm assuming it was such a nature that trade cannot just come and tell you listen in a specific account reducer. Because it might have huge implications. You can give us more clarity as to how that kind of impacts our capability of acquiring all the load equipment and vehicles and aircraft that you mentioned. Secondly, you've indicated that you know you're involved in promoting local procurement. Now we know that there's been a huge lot of cancellation of contracts with small and medium enterprises for, amongst others, maintenance of vehicles. And we know that for that purpose you got in the equipment and others as well. Now, I mean, it sounds strange to me that on the one side you're supporting the new GoPark and the NDP, and we know that small business plays a major role. You're losing jobs, if it affects the economy's growth, cancelling that, but using foreigners, and money goes out, I mean, that sounds contradictory to me, if you can give us more indications on that. And then your indications of restructuring of the DoD. What does that mean in layman's terms? What does that actually mean? You know, you can work the means of other things, but I think in layman's terms for us to digest and understand it.
And I want you
thank you.
To move straight to the point now.
Okay. Just the last one is the Border Management Agency. But is the status and involvement of the Border Management Agency, especially in conjunction of in relation to what we've talked about the, you know, the border control. That's very important. Thank you very much.
It's a forward nation family in the condition of Parliament. How do you see Parliament coming to this? Why does that Parliament quite sure that it doesn't work at all? How do you see that relationship? The veterans and the chief part of the department. How do you see through the processes of the policy and everything, how do the Americans and Hunger be able to engage them in assisting the defense of the government and the agency? So the one question of the Democrats, one of the shadow one, the legal one, why do they have to be affected in the for me, that's a question of people. Well, I know that with a certain account, you don't have so much of people who are interested in this. It depends on the family. I don't know how we're using the account to see the whole price and the contribution of this that's going along with that question of how we can. I'm going to remember the instruction of the
Thank you very much. That you will not think before I get.
Thank you very much, honorable members. I will just go down quickly, try to be concise and to the point. When it comes to the bridges, the building of bridges, it is true that the Southern Special Defense Force at one stage had additional bridging equipment that remained from the past that we felt were no longer required in terms of our operational requirements of the Operational Defense Force, and we did roll out these bridges, what we call daily bridges, with our engineers, army engineers, in Limpopo, in the Eastern Cape. But we then ran out of that additional stock of bridges that we have. And we then engaged the Department of Public Works to say, these equipment of daily bridges are still out there with the private sector industry. If the Department of Public Works buys them, we will be ready to get our engineers to roll them out. So that program is up and running, but it means that the public works must come up with the funding, and we will come up with the personnel and labor and engineers to roll out those bridges. I think it gets limited then by the public works availability of their resources. When we talk about the deployed peacekeeping operations, whether is there going to be savings if we are in the process of withdrawing from Darfur, and what will happen to those savings? If there are any savings, they will have to go into our prioritization. In other words, to see whether if we are safe in Sudan, can we reprioritize to other areas in DRC, where I think more and more demand is still growing in terms of our operations there. But overall, if you look at the total sum of the operation, bearing in mind that the UN was reimbursing us from for our operation in Darfur, and if we withdraw from Darfur, we lose the reimbursement that we used to get. So the savings is there, but it's not really that significant if you're going to lose the subsidy that you used to get from the United Nations. And when it comes to the additional fuel and what is it used for and flying hours, the clarity and the sea hours, the clarity is that when we report, we are reporting strictly on the operational deployment. So you have operationally deployed. This does not cover the cost of training and preparation. So what you see is that both for the hours that are out there at sea, some of them will be the compulsory hours that we have put aside for force preparations. So you might find that the number of hours for force preparations are there fixed and planned and calculated by the chiefs of services and divisions, but the goods and services cost of it in terms of what is going to be used, it will not be, once they put in the hours, they put in the hours and the fuel has a cost. But when you get to the additional fuel, it's because you have additional deployments that might have been required from time to time. Project Cairo and Project Hotel are in the process of prioritization. Tenders have gone out for hotel, gone out for Project Cairo, that is acquisition of hydrographic vessel, acquisition of inshore and offshore patrol. And right now, when those tenders gone out, I have received preliminary report and have indicated to the end users that I don't have the money to cover all of this. They must reprioritize and come back to me and tell me what they propose to do with the little money that we have, because this budget has been cut, as you know. The medicine budget increase, I have instructed the South African Military Health Services that they have been under budgeting up to now. So I have said that be realistic you unbudgeted for last year, because with the budget that you have, you could not maintain the stocks that you wanted to maintain, and that this year now put the realistic, practical budget that you want. That's why you're going to see the budget increasing, but not so much so on the deliverables of it, because they would be, as a result, actually, frankly speaking, I have to do environment budget, taking budget from other areas and giving it for medicine. I did do that for 15-16, although it might not have been that much. And then I said they must budget realistically for what they are going to need. So you find that they are going to say to you, okay, we will deliver last year's medical stocks and services now at a realistic budget that is recalculated according to the instruction that I was able to provide. And the same thing when it comes to the 4,000, what might be causing a little bit of confusion, you will find that we will maybe take 2,000 or 4,000 this year, but they are going to be in the system for 2 years, because the military skill development program is 2 years training. So when you're seeing 6,000, when I say 2,000 are in the system this year, you find that maybe 2,000 of them are new ones this year, or next year they have run to 4,000 because the other 2,000 graduated, and I'm skipping that one to go through the process. So that might cause a little, but all I can say is that the numbers themselves have been changing, because there was a time when we had budgeted, in 2013, as I indicated, we took about 10,000, but now the figure itself of the number of people that are remaining in the city at any given point in time was dropped to 4,000, and I appealed, I think, following the minister's directive to the civil service to say, please, this is really an important program for the rejuvenation of the South African National Defense Force, especially keeping the South African with the defense review, that can we then at least increase it, prioritize it to about 6,000. I think this year we should be targeting towards getting to 6,000. And yes, we do have the legal environmental, the legal environment is a challenge. We have been improving. I think now there's been a great improvement. I think when we get to the quarter report and moving into the end of financial year annual report, you're going to see a lot of improvement in terms of the success rate of our cases that we file in legal court. All of that really is because in my office I'm in the process of establishing a compliance unit as advice for the National Treasury to look into compliance with the specific legislation. And most of our legal cases are not so much so contractual cases that a certain contract is in dispute. It's more of a labor relations. It's more of a labor relations dispute that we find ourselves in. And that's why the issue of the military discipline bill is going to be very important. And the status of that bill now is that it is sitting with the state law advisors. The state law advisors are raising a question. I'm not a legal expert, but they are saying, if a judge is in uniform, how independent is that judge? Well, what I know is that there are military judges all over the world. I don't know whether I have to ask that question from other judges, military judges that are out there. As far as I'm concerned, a military judge is like a military doctor. Whether they're in uniform or not in uniform, they must be independent. And as a military doctor, I am independent when I'm taking a decision what to do with an injured soldier. I can't, even if a commander cannot come and tell me that no, don't treat that patient, treat the patient, because I decide which patient needs treatment first, or who should be treated first than the other one. So professionally speaking, I expect the military judges that they should be able to be independent even if they're in uniform, but the state law advisor says no, if your military judges are in uniform, then they must report, they will end up reporting to the, whatever the commander says they must do. Yeah, I hear a question about the TNL and the Saudi Arabia factory. I don't know what was the problem. Frankly speaking, maybe it's because when they asked my communications director, he just said, no, I'm not going to comment on it. But I was part of that presidential visit to Saudi Arabia. TNL assisted a state-owned entity, the name is a state-owned entity, a state-owned entity in Saudi Arabia called Military Industry Company, Military Industry Company, to build a plant to manufacture projectiles. The same projectiles that we have in Coach's room, which are manufactured by Rheinmetall Denel. And the Denel engineers from here went to Saudi Arabia and designed that factory. And engineers, and I was surprised when I got there, I saw a number of young black engineers who were trained by Denel being in Saudi Arabia. Maybe there were about more than 25 of them who helped to put that factory together and are going to stay there to maintain the equipment as trained. They're going back and forth, creating jobs as such and marketing those manufactured ammunition by the Saudi Arabia Military Industry Company to the region. So this was a joint venture project between Denel, state-owned South African company, Military Industry Company, Saudi Arabian state-owned company, and the president when he was there went in to open up a factory. And the media was there. I don't know whether it is you. I think they were there too. I think I saw them. They were not there. They were there. The media was there. So I don't know what was the problem. Actually, up to now, I don't know what the problem. It just tells you the media here in South Africa. The media in South Africa, I mean, is so much unscientific in their approach. Some of them are just simply lazy to get information that was up in the internet. They could have gotten the information on the internet rather than bother us and ask us questions that are stupid. Anyway, when it comes to the 350 million SDA reduction, that's a paper. The National Treasury says said I'm cutting 350 million from your SDA. This is the letter I got. No questions asked, nothing, and that's it. I don't know what else to say, except to say that when asked what you want, they say reprioritize. So these are issues of reprioritization. That's why I have to look at all the acquisition projects like you are saying now. Most of the projects, I have to put them on hold. Pyro, you talk about, I mean, the initial offshore patrol vessels, hydrographic. There are a number of other projects that now I might have to put on hold to see how I reprioritize now that the National Treasury has this year cut the special defense accounts that is meant for the acquisition of our military capability by 350 million. And it is going to have an impact. It is already having an impact. A little bit about cancellation of contract for vehicle maintenance. Maybe this one needs an explanation in the sense that when we got the contract with the Cubans, they are there to train the South African National Defense Force so the South African National Defense Force can maintain these vehicles themselves. When we deploy in the DRC or in Sudan or wherever in Africa, we want the soldiers to go with the vehicles and do the maintenance there themselves. And the same thing with the seamen, they must be able to maintain their ships and vessels at the harbors themselves as members of the Navy, and they were doing the same thing now with the Air Force as well. So it's a program that is actually saving money. When you come for the fourth quarter report, CFO, remember to bring slides to show how much you have saved money by doing these things in-house rather than outsourcing. I'm not saying we're not going to need the outsourcing. We are saying level 3 and 4 repairs and maintenance is still going to be done by the industry. It's going to be done locally by the industry. And these students are not going to be here forever. This was a one-year contract up to March, extended for another year. Because of the good work that they're doing, I want them now to try and extend it into other parts of the country. They've worked well in Potchefstroom, in Bloemfontein. They need to go to other areas now to try and assist. And so doing, they're helping us to save money. And they're transferring skills. After that, they'll go back to Cuba, and we will have their own capability in-house to do this. And you find that most of these skills are being transferred to the young MSDs. The same MSDs, I think Honorable Esau would be happy to hear this. Honorable Esau has always been hammering me, saying that we train MSDs, and then we release them back to the society, and then they become a problem because they are literally trained. Now I have a job for them. I train them, and then I make them repair the vehicles, the ships, and the aircraft through the help of the Cubans who are helping them train them. And restructuring the Department of Defense simply means look at it. I'll be very simple. Put to bed. We have the Kazakh National Defense Force, members of the Department of Defense in uniform. We have the Secretariat, members of the Department of Defense in civil, providing civil control and administration. And there is what you call shared services. Human resources for those who are employed under the Defense Act, they're in uniform. Human resources for those who are employed under the Public Service Act, in civilian. Legal services for the litigation, legal services for military justice. And then you go down and say logistics, procurement of non-military systems, procurement of military systems, logistics for these logistics. So you go down and look at all of these internal, you have internal audit units, big units, internal audit that was established under the PFMA for doing it. And then you have Inspector General, big units under the Defense Act that is required. So you have all of these structures of shared services, common shared and so on. So restructuring simply means, is that the best what you want, or you have any other better structure than to keep? So it's like changing these structures to a way that is going to try and bring efficiency to the system. It's not going to be easy, but we are going to do it. Excuse me. And then the BMA is Border Management Agency status. Border Management Agency is the lead department is Home Affairs. I have just signed what we call multi-party agreement for the piloting of this. And it's a story for another day. But what it says, what it attempts to do is that the border posts are going to be manned by the Border Management Agency. And that the Defense Force is going to man the border line and the coastal line. But you also have the now that's where I get confused. You also have the Coastal Guard for the law enforcement and the Border Guards for the law enforcement. The soldiers are not there in the border line to enforce law. When we arrest illegal immigrants crossing over, we don't have power to arrest. So we are almost like doing a civil arrest and hand over to the police. So rather than handing over to the police, we now hand them over to the border guards. So you have the border guards and the members of the Defense Force and border guards, the Navy and coastal guards. So the chief is worried about it, to say you're going to have two uniforms in one space, and which uniform is the ultimate command of the space. That's it for another day. But we are cooperating. With the BMA bill, the BMA bill is on its way, it came out of cabinet, is now with NEFLAC consultation, from there it comes to parliament, and I would just say, although it's going to be run by the Portfolio Committee on Home Affairs, I'll ask our Portfolio Committee to please interrogate it. We're trying to make it work, because we want it to work, as it were. And, as to what can the Parliament do in terms of funding, Honourable, thanks very much for raising that question. Just help a doctor, please. Just help. We're presenting the budget vote next week. Minister is going to present the budget vote, and I think we'll be guided by the Minister in terms of what we want the Parliament to do through the budget vote speech. And yes, we are in the process of signing an MOU with the Department of Military Veterans in terms of how we can assist in that regard. And I might not have, I think it will be for another workshop, as you have indicated, in terms of the threat that is facing South Africa. But we cannot be naive. We cannot say there is no threat. If we have followed what has been happening all around the world, my wife was telling me the other day that the flights to Paris are now cheap. What happens is it looks like, you know, the effect of such terrorist activity on tourism is very devastating. Now a country whose economy is fragile as ours cannot afford any threat that is not mediated in terms of its security. You just get an inclination that this country is not secure. Tourism is going to go down to the floor. And the economy will suffer. Jobs will be lost. That's a major military threat to it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mr. President. You know, so we call you to judge the member of the Congress. And then we will be able to ask the group. The mission is against the government.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you
for the interaction.
Thank you. For supporting me.
Yes.
But the
frustrating to me as well, because I can see, and that it is opposite minds at the place of priority.
Yes.
And sometimes I say,
the issue of reviewing the test with you every 5 years, I think it's an achievement. So let's just say in 2020, I'm not going to take the local. Let's just do what we can do in 2020.
Come to the what is the assumption of GDP growth?
Yeah.
And we know it was bigger than now.
Yeah.
So the projection and at that stage of the GDP was much higher.
Yes.
So obviously, that had a major impact on the defense review.
On the target. Target. Yeah.
And the hope is that that doesn't materialize as books.
I know what I was saying to my colleague, that if they say I'm cut down on the wage bill, I really need to go and pay. How do you have
I'm going to go to the next one.